The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I've got some volunteers I think are going to come up here in just a second. They're going to help me out with something this morning. Y'all mind? Come on up. I'm going to kind of get things set for you guys up here. Have y'all ever read a passage of the Bible and you read it and you're like, you know, that's cool and all, but that doesn't do anything for me this week. Anybody willing to be honest enough to say that? Okay, all right, you've read it and you're like, you know, that's good information, like, cool, that's all good and well, but like, that doesn't really do anything for me at all. And then there's other times where you've read a passage of the Bible and, yeah, put those on, bub. Those are going to be your safety glasses, man. You ever read a passage of the Bible and you're like, did I really need the Bible to tell me that? Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I could have figured that out on my own. Like, that wasn't really all that profound. Y'all ever have read those verses and you're like, how do you have verses that mean absolutely nothing? And then how do you have other verses that are really like meaningful and deep? And this morning we're going to look at one that is, I think, a little bit of both. But before we do that, I'm going to ask my friend Bubby, come on up here, man. Now, Bubby is going to break some sticks for you guys. He's a trained professional. Don't try this at home. You break a lot of sticks, right, Bub? Okay. All right. Now, Bubby, I want you to break this stick right here with that spoon. All right, go for it, man. Okay, all right. Let's try it one more time. Try it one more time for me. Oh, that was a good one. All right. Now, Bubby, hold on. Stay right here, man. Let's try this one. Try that one. Oh, that was a good one, too. All right. I'm going to ask David to come in over here on this one. And you, Bubby, you come here, too, man. All right. Now, we're going to trade out. That's why David's here. I'm not crazy. But I am going to step out of the way. All right. You got it. All right, Bubby, break that stick with that one, man. Ready? Oh, there it is. All right, now, hold on. Wait, come on. Yeah, it's on you, man. Come on. Give me another one. Do this for the Andre the Giant style. Oh, there it is. Good job. Y'all give Bubby a hand. I'll clean up my mess, I promise y'all. Don't worry about it. Now, that's such a little simple illustration, but what... what worked better, the spoon or the axe? The axe. Why? Because that's what axes were made for. They were made for cutting wood. I came across this verse a couple years ago, and it was one of these verses in Scripture that I read. And when I read it, I was like, that's so simple. Like, why did the Bible have to tell me that? It's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Solomon is writing, and he says this, "If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success." What's that? Listen, we're gonna have some fun this morning. I know we've already broke sticks in church and stuff like that, but I'm going to get comfortable. I wanted to wear my lumberjack jacket, and Kelsey wouldn't let me. So I have a lumberjack jacket and a hat, believe it or not. But I'm going to do that. What's this verse mean? Real simple, right? What does it mean? Have a sharp axe. A dull axe requires what?
More work.
Real simple, right? This is not that deep of stuff. But then as you start to break this down, and I don't know if you guys have this, if you have a Bible app on your phone, or if you have someplace that you can look at multiple different translations, but we're going to look at this passage of Scripture from multiple translations this morning. They're all in your notes and in your bulletin, hopefully, if you've got it. But we're going to look at different things and just kind of highlight some stuff, because in this simplistic verse, there's some deep truths. This is such a simple thing, but there's one thing that this tells me that maybe you didn't think about when you first read it. Everybody has a tree. Y'all ever think about that when you read this verse? You have a tree. I have a tree. Everybody's got a tree. Now, what's a tree? A tree is anything that is in the way of you being where you want to be, whether it's in life, Whether it's a personal thing, it's a habit, it's a hang up, it's this one attitude or action that you just can't get past. Every single one of us has a tree in our life that if we really were, if we were to be like gut level honest with each other, no one was really going to like say anything, we could talk to each other and be like, man, this one thing I just can't get over. I can't get past it. I can't get over it. It doesn't matter what I seem to do. This one thing is always in the way of where I want to get, where I want to be. Whether it's emotionally or it's mentally or it's spiritually, there's always like that one thing, isn't there? Everybody has one thing in their life. It's this tree that kind of like holds you up. It hangs you up. It keeps you from going where you want to go. Now, some of us have trees, and they're trees because of personal decisions that we've made. And because of a mistake or a decision that we've made, now all of a sudden this obstacle has arose and keeps us from being where we want to be. Other things in life are circumstantial, right? Nothing you did, nothing you made happen, no decision you make. It's just part of life. And what happened in this part of life is something shot up in your way, and now it's keeping you from going where you want to go. But the reality is that this verse tells us that every single one of us, you, me, every person who walks through the doors of the church or comes into church or never even darkens the doors of the church, every single person has a tree in their life. It's something that keeps you from being where you want to be. Another translation says it like that, this, if the axe is dull and the blade is unsharpened, more strength must be exerted. But skill produces success. Well, that kind of changes the mindset. It's no longer about the tree now. In this one has more to do with the axe, right? And so my question for you is how is your axe? How's your axe? The stuff that you're trying to get through, the problems that you're trying to face, how's your axe? Now, on a real, like, personal sense, this is you and I's faith. Our faith is our axe, right? Our faith and our trust in God is our axe, which then, if that's the case, because we realize this, we're all Christians, we're all good, you know, church-going folks, you're here on a cold Sunday morning. What do I mean by that? We know that, like, anything and everything that we take on in life, how do we beat it? If it's a problem, if it's a difficulty, if there's anything that we do in life with any success for God's glory, how do we do it? Is it on you? No, it's on Christ. It's on God working in and through us. And so that's real, like, broad, real, yeah, I get it, general. But this causes me to question, how is my faith? Because if I'm, and I'll be honest, not that I'm not honest with you guys, I got to stop saying that. Man. There are times in my life where my faith is dull. Here's what I mean. I know there's nothing I can do on my own that's good. I know that all the stuff that I try to do, it just doesn't work out that well. And I know that all the times I try to take on issues or problems or face things in life without God's help, it ends up a disaster. I know that. I can tell you that. I can claim that. But there's this part of me inside that when something goes wrong, what do? I can fix this, man. I don't need to go to God. God, I know you know what's going on, so if you want to send help, cool. But if not, you got heaven on lock. I'm gonna take care of this down here. And I try to do it myself. And really what it is this. I don't want to have a result happen that I don't plan on having happen. Right? Because if I trust God and if I believe in God and if I put my faith in God to handle this situation, then what that means is I have to be okay with his result. I want my result. And because I want my result, I'm going to be the one who makes sure that I do everything with it. So that way I get the result that I want. See, when I start to trust in God or I have to have my faith in God, it changes and I have to be okay with whatever he wants. And so there are times in my life where my faith, my axe is dull. Now, let's take this out of your personal spiritual life. Let's take it on a broader scale. In life, God's given you tools. He's equipped you with abilities, skills, things like that to help you navigate and conquer and fulfill your calling in Christ. Right? If you're a Christian, you have what we call spiritual gifts. You have a personality. We've spent the first like couple months I was here talking about how God, you've been crafted in the image of God to do a certain thing that only you can do. But this axe that Bubby so successfully broke those sticks with this morning, if you look at it, it's pretty beat up. It's got some rust stains. Actually, if you look really close, there's a water line right there. That's because that's where the water got up to in our backyard, because my axe sits outside in our backyard like this, and the water got up that high on there. And so really, this axe has been sitting for a long time outside unused. So really, if I were to go out and I were to chop anything of substantial like size, probably wouldn't work real good. Why? Because the skills, the abilities, the things that God's given me to use, I've let sit on the wayside. See, I think there are things in our life that we let sit on the wayside. We don't use, we don't practice, we don't sharpen, we don't develop. We never do anything with. We just continue to try and do the same thing over and over and over again. As a church, that's what we do, isn't it? Well, preacher, we've been doing it like this since 1902. I don't even know when 1902 is, but maybe it won't work the same way now as it did then. It killed me, man, because that's something that I hear all the time in church work and in our churches is this, is, well, this is what we used to do. Great. I'm so glad this is what we used to do. We've got a foundation that is solid as a rock, and that's awesome. But sometimes when what we used to do isn't cutting wood the same way, maybe we need to look at how we're at the tools we're using. Maybe we need to sharpen our axe a little bit. Find not a different way, because the gospel is what we use to reach the world. But maybe we can sharpen our abilities and use the gospel in a new and different way to reach those around us. Another translation of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10 says this: using a dull axe requires great strength. Sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. So, church, this morning, I have a question of what are you doing in life? Again, we've all got trees. We've all got axes, whether it's our faith in Christ or our faith in God, or whether it's the skills and the abilities and the attributes that God's given you to use. What are you doing? If we're trying to conquer our trees in life on our own apart from God, we're acting foolishly, according to Solomon. Faith is the axe God desires for us to use. Y'all ever, I'm gonna name one kid. I'm not even gonna name a kid. I have a kid. We'll say that. I've got four of them. But I've got one in particular who just like, I mean, small things. You know what I mean? Like the dress that they wanted to wear today wasn't the dress that they thought they wanted to wear today last night when they picked out their dresses. And like, it's just like come apart central. Y'all know any, we call it drama queen at our house. I don't know what y'all call it at your house. But y'all know people like that in life. How's it going today? Oh man, I got a hangnail. I got a sticking hangnail. I can't walk. I can't wear shoes. I got a hangnail. I'm done. I shouldn't have gotten out of bed this morning. I should have just stayed there and put Boo Boo Bunny on my foot because I got a hang. I can't move. I'm done. Maybe the tree is not as big as you think it is. Maybe there are trees in you and I's life that we look at and we say, man, this is massive. This is monumental. There's no way in the world we can ever get past this tree. And what God is screaming to you and I this morning is, church, listen, hey, sharpen your axe, dummy. God wouldn't say dummy, but it's a loose southern translation. See, listen, that tree that you think is so big, if you would just sharpen your axe, you could knock this tree down. You could conquer it. You could beat it. You could get to what's on the other side where you really want to be. But your bonehead self is using the same dull axe to try and conquer this problem. It's time to sharpen your axe. It's time to sharpen your faith. It's time to sharpen your skills, your attributes, the things that God's blessed you with in order to get you to where you want to be in life. Listen, I understand that this is spiritual, yes, but this is also just practical of life. Because there are things in life that we let come between us that stop us from going where God is calling us to go. And we say, well, there's nothing we can do. We can't reach that. We can never obtain that. We can't get there. And God says, man, I've given you an axe. Go take it out. Sharpen it and go take out whatever's in your way. Just so you understand what some things are, wisdom doesn't remove the tree. It sharpens the blade. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, in another translation says this, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom to sharpen the axe help him succeed with less effort. Wisdom doesn't make all our problems go away, but it helps us remove or overcome the problems with less effort. Y'all know what I mean by that? Man, when you and I start to rely on godly wisdom, on biblical wisdom, when we start to trust and believe in who God has called us to be and what he's equipped us with, then all of a sudden those problems that we thought were monumental, were massive, we have no problem overcoming. Now, the question is not, is that what Scripture says? Because that's what the Bible says. The question for you and I is, do you actually believe that? Do you actually live like that? Do you actually trust that? I'm amazed at times where I've watched Christians and they've had this obstacle, they've had this tree in their way, and they've just given up. They said, man, I can't do it. I can't get there. I can't go this way. I can't do what God wants me to do. I can't get where God wants me to go because there's this thing here. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to come to church because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to come. I'm going to sit in my pew. I'm going to sing my songs. I'm going to get up, I'm going to go out, I'm going to leave, I'm going to come back next week and do the same thing over again, and I'm going to continue to beat this giant tree with a dull axe. And they give up, and they'll refuse to sharpen their blade and use wisdom to sharpen their blade. Instead, they want to continue to do things the same way over and over again and hope that the tree gets removed. Now, I understand that there are trees, but sometimes God puts trees in our life to redirect us too. Sometimes you're beaten on a tree over and over and over again with a dull axe, trying to make headway, trying to make progress, trying to make ground, trying to get where God wants you to do. And God's placed the tree in your path to direct you in a new and different way altogether. But because you're so dead set on this is where I have to go, this is what it has to be like, this is what life has to look like, you're beating the dead tree with a dull axe, trying to get where God wants you to be. Here's some tips that I found in other passages of Scripture just to help you and I grasp what wisdom really is. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, Solomon also writes this, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, though it costs you all you have, get understanding. It causes me to ask, what am I working for? Am I working for something that's worth it? You know, it's funny. We all work for so many things, don't we? We're working for wealth. We're working for comfort. We're working for all kinds of different things in life. And we'll exhaust ourselves to the point of being just dead tired to have wealth, to have comfort, to have security, to have this, to have that, to have whatever. But it also will work all that way at the cost of our faith, at the cost of our growth spiritually. What this passage tells me is this, is wisdom, godly wisdom, is worth way more than any of that other stuff. Okay. I'm going to say this because I love y'all. Don't get a stick and beat me out back. Do you put as much energy, effort, and focus in coming here and paying attention as you do going to your job? No, my job pays me. I'm sorry, I wish we could pay you to come to church. But we do, or we should. But it's with wisdom. Do you put as much effort and energy into this as you do extracurricular things? And listen, I get it, man. My kids, I hope one of my kids is athletic. I don't know which one it's going to be yet, but if one of them is, I'll be happy. But like, man, you know, I went the other night to the T-ball games, and it was like, man, it's amazing how much time and effort and energy parents put into that. And it's awesome and it's great. And we had a blast being out there. But it makes me wonder, do they put that time, effort, and energy into going to church also? Or, listen, take going to church out of it. Do you put that much time, effort, and energy not into going to church, into pouring wisdom into your kids? Godly wisdom into them. Because if you don't take the time, effort, and energy to pour godly wisdom into them, guess what? There's a whole world out there that's willing to pour worldly wisdom into them any and every chance they get. Are you working for something that's actually worth it? Or is all your work for stuff that's not going to matter? Another kind of tip about wisdom, or thing that wisdom is, in James chapter 3, verse 13, it says this: who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by their good life, the deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Prove you're wise by the way you live. There's a lot of us, I think, that claim to be wise, but our actions scream of a self-righteous, independent, foolish life. We were talking in Wednesday Night Bible Study, by the way. If you're not a part of Wednesday Night Bible Study, man, you're missing out. It's awesome. It's my unshameless plug. I love our Wednesday Night Bible Study. We were talking in Wednesday Night Bible Study about the idea of quiet and how no one likes quiet. I don't know. I hate quiet. I can't stand it. I have to have music. I have to have noise. I have to have something. And one of the reasons I think I always have to have it is because I'm scared to death to sit quietly on my own, and I'm afraid what God's going to reveal to me. See, I'm afraid if this verse is true and I'm supposed to prove I'm wise by the way I live, again, I can tell you guys the right answers. I can tell you what the Bible says. I can tell you all those things. But if I pause, I take a moment, and I truly reflect and look at my life, you know what I see? I see a lot of actions that prove I'm still foolish. I see a lot of actions in my life that say, hey, listen, dummy, you're still trying to do this on your own. Hey, foolish one, I gave you this axe. Use it, sharpen it, then move forward. See, I think a lot of us want to think we're wise because we know the answers. We know the right things to say. We know the right words to say. We know the church terms. But actually, if we took a good, hard, long look at our life, our actions would reveal we're still pretty foolish. The last little tip about wisdom is this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, it says this: be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Church, how are you using your time? Are you using your time taking the same dull axe, attacking the same dull tree that you've had in your life for thousands of years, that same habit, that same hang-up, that same thing that always gets in your way, that same action, the attitude, this one thing that you just can't conquer, and you're taking your dull axe and you're beating it over and 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 over again, and you're exhausting yourself beating a tree that should have been removed from your life years ago with a dull axe, and you have completely spent all your energy, effort, and everything you have using a dull axe to try and beat a tree out of your life that could be removed in 2 seconds if you would take the time to sharpen your axe with wisdom and move the tree out of your way. See, what I love about this passage of scripture is it says this: to live as wise people, but then it gives you this kind of follow-up. The days are evil. You know what that means? Time ain't on your side. You know what Satan wants you to do? Satan wants you to take this dull axe go beat on that tree again. He would love nothing more than to paralyze you with a dull axe and a tree that should have been removed from your life for years and occupy your time sitting there. When I was a kid, my grandfather used to send us out to, you guys call it poke salad here, right? Okay, we called them China berries in Florida. They're bad for cows to eat, I know that. And so my grandfather would send us out into fields to chop down China berries. I didn't realize that my grandfather also gave us very dull hatchets and machetes and things like that so that we would be out there all day long. Why? Because that was our only job for the week, was chopping China berries. After that, it was picking cactuses. And once all the cactuses were up, we were done. But it didn't ever dawn on me to check how sharp our blade was. I just knew that we were going out into a field, and that was how he was going to occupy our time. Well, send us with a dull blade chopping China berries. Church, Satan's got a lot of you right where he wants you. He's got you using a dull axe, chopping a tree that should have been removed a long time ago. And you're saying, well, Brother John, I just keep on chopping. Yeah, you do. But man, there's wisdom out there that says sharpen your axe and you can get through this and you can move on to what God wants you to move on to. But instead, a lot of us fall into that trap of using that same dull axe over and over and over again. And in the meantime, Satan just sits back and laughs. Look at this dummy. He thinks he's going to do something with that dull axe. He ain't going nowhere. And he loves it because he's paralyzed you in your Christian life. He's paralyzed his church, the church of Christ, and its calling to reach the world with the gospel. Satan's paralyzed all kinds of people by convincing them that they can use a dull axe to get through this. So this morning, church, how are your axes? How is our axe as a church? What are we doing that's working, that's not working? It's a simple verse. Sharp axe, less work. But man, it's profound when you start to realize all the different things that it means for your life and for my life. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a simple verse in Scripture. God, it's not super complicated. It's not super deep. Sharper axe means less work. God, this morning, I wonder how many of us can relate all too well to that verse. Because, God, we've been attacking the same problem in life with a dull axe for years. Father, whether it's a sin, a spiritual thing that we're trying to get over and we just can't seem to get over it. Whether it's a bad attitude or an action or a habit. God, whether it's this one thing that we can't place our faith in you because it's just so monumental. So God, we try on our own to take our own axe that's dull and get out of the way. Father, this morning, I pray that as your words have gone out from your word to our ears, God, you would ignite in us a desire to sharpen the tools that you've given us, sharpen our faith, sharpen our abilities. God, make the most of our time and use wisdom in a way that helps us remove the obstacles that would keep us from where we would like to be in our relationship with you. Father, we pray that as we worship you during this song today, that you would use your words just to stir in our hearts. And God, that if there's something, a decision we need to make, or God, there's just a time where we need to spend some time in prayer with you, that we would be obedient to what you're calling us to do this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.